Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Road trip gets off to a rough start. It continues tonight in Utah. We'll talk about it. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. I am happy to be with you here on this Monday as we open up a new week and continue for the Grizzlies a four-game road trip. And it started on Saturday night in Milwaukee with a pretty unsuccessful performance, really. Not a great effort all in all, and a game that revealed some of the continued problems that this team is having in the early part of the season. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to preview the game against the Utah Jazz coming up in just a little bit. But to start with the 106-96 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday night, a game that really was in many ways frustrating and starting to emerge, a few trends starting to emerge with this team now. There are enough games that we are seeing, a few things that continue to surprise maybe. Some of them are surprising, some of them are not. But I think we've had enough time now that we can start to get some real, honest-to-goodness answers and to start to really come to some conclusions about this team. So the 10-point loss, to give you the particulars, if you want them, from the Grizzlies' perspective, led by Marc Gasol's 18 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, but also he fouled out in the game, having played 34 minutes. Vince Carter continues to be a huge, huge bonus for the team. 17 points off the bench in 34 minutes, which is a big number for him. You saw 12 points from Zebo off the bench, 12 points from Chandler Parsons in his most prolific outing thus far. Mike Conley, 15, 5, and 3 assists, 3 turnovers in his 30 minutes. Jermichael Green, not a whole lot in terms of scoring, just 5 points, and didn't play. We played 22.5 minutes. James Ennis, the other starter, just 9 points in 25.5 minutes. And then Andrew Harrison and Wade Baldwin both getting time, and most of that time coming together in interesting combinations, and neither doing much in the way of scoring, 2 points for each. Turnovers, it was, I don't know. It's still a work in progress, let's put it that way, that lineup. Meanwhile, you really, the one that you need to look at from the Bucks perspective was Greek Freak. What an unbelievable line from the kid who, I mean, you can see why he's going to be, and he already is really, a complete handful. I don't remember very many guys. I mean, you can go back to like Magic, but just guys that can handle the ball as well as he can definitely play point guard and plays a significant amount of point guard out there, but also can switch on everybody, up to and including Marc Gasol, can block shots, can defend the post, he was offensively one of the first plays of the game, down, just killing James Ennis down in the post. Listen to this line he finishes with: 27 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 4 blocks. So one steal, one block away from the vaunted legendary 5x5. Those are exceedingly rare, far, far rarer than triple doubles or things like that. The 5x5 is the gold standard of the stat stuffing, something that only the very elite versatile players can even think about doing. Four steals and four blocks is crazy enough. 27 points, six boards, five assists, four steals, four blocks. The Grizzlies were also killed by Michael Beasley off the bench. Not a phrase I think any of us expected to hear. I didn't expect to say it, but Beasley was really good, and they had no answer. He slipped right in the seams. The Grizzlies threw out some zone for a significant portion of this game, which did not really work, but served to show how difficult it was for them to keep the Bucks out of the paint. Bucks scoring 50 paint points in this ball game, some of them coming from Beasley, by the way, but Beasley with a point a minute off the bench, 19 points in 19 minutes. Malcolm Brogdon, who is one of the few other rookie point guards who's doing anything in the league, he's having a great start to his career, and he comes in with 12 points off the bench, far and away more effective than either Andrew Harrison or Wade Baldwin. So this was kind of a it was not a great game. First of all, the Bucks are not real good. They have gotten off, they've gotten a little bit better after getting off to a really bad start, but they still don't have Chris Middleton. Can you imagine if this team had Chris Middleton? If you put him in there instead of Dellavedova or Snell in that starting lineup, you can go across the board and have incredible versatility and length and athleticism and all those things that you like. I mean, they would go, you know, super long across that entire package. And when and if he comes back, you know, they still have that down the line. They're all very, very young. But they haven't really, you know, been that good this year at doing some of the things that the Grizzlies allowed them to do. That's the frustrating thing from a Grizzly perspective. It was the lack of communication continues to be a problem on defense. The lack of any cover out there defensively is really troubling. And you can look at the simplicity of the pick and roll stuff, but you know, truth is that they're just, and in this game in particular, and David Fizdale kind of alluded to it, you know, this was effort stuff too. Team didn't really move, didn't move their feet all that well, didn't really push for covering up for your teammate. A lot of times guys just didn't take that extra step over, just didn't make that extra little play defensively to help out. And as a result, Milwaukee had a ton of easy looks inside. If you don't help your teammate out, then these are the kinds of things that can happen, and that's exactly what we saw for the Grizzlies. It was pretty easy. And the Bucks, I'm trying to find the, yeah, I mean, the Bucks were 21 of 29 at the basket. 21 of 29 at the basket. They made 36 shots, and 21 of them came inside the restricted area. So, I mean, that you're never going to get it done that way. And that was, you could tell that there was real frustration from that Grizzly bench, from the coaching staff. Understandably so. That's basic stuff. That's basic stuff. Too many fouls, far too many fouls. Not just Mark fouling out, but you know, Andrew Harrison fouling all the time. No surprise that Jamichael Green ends up with four fouls in 22 minutes. Everyone on the floor, for the most part, picked up fouls, and too many of them. James Ennis, too many fouls. Chandler Parsons was the one guy who didn't foul, and that's not necessarily a good thing either, because you know his defense was left a lot to be desired in a lot of cases. These things are, you know, defense is the stuff that wins you, it wins you those games on the road, and so far the Grizzlies haven't picked up one yet on the road. I imagine they will, but you can see that there's still big issues of communication. And those are things that don't go away that easily. I will tell you what does go away, though, easily, is, unfortunately, your money. If you're buying tickets from the wrong site, or you're buying them direct from the box office sometimes, that money of yours can go away very easily, and too much of it. Let's change that. SeatGeek is here for you, dear listener. SeatGeek. SeatGeek. It's really easy. Man, look, right now, whatever you're doing, and I mean, I'm right here doing it too. Just take the phone out. I've done it many times on all my devices, so you can do it too. You've got your phone. You've got whatever it is you're listening to this podcast on. Take it out, unless you're driving, in which case, keep driving and then do it when you pull over. Take it out. Type in SeatGeek in the App Store. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings. Go to enter promo code. Type in LO Grizzlies. Now, why are you doing all that? Let me explain. SeatGeek is going to set up for you an unbelievable amount of power, an unbelievable amount of purchasing power. You will be able to get the best prices for tickets, whatever you're doing. If you're going to a basketball game, going to a college game, college basketball, just getting started. You're going to a Grizzly game when they come back on this road trip. You're going to do whatever it is you're going to. Maybe you're on the road. Maybe you're in Utah. Maybe you're in Salt Lake City at the Vivint Home Smart Home Arena or whatever the hell that thing's called. Maybe you're there right now. You want to find that ticket. Super easy to do with SeatGeek. Type it in. You're going to guarantee that you're going to get the best seats at the best price because they go through and they look at all of the ticket sites out there. They aggregate all of those. They've got an algorithm to let you know exactly what it looks like. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff behind the scenes. They're doing all that computing work for you. What you see on the front end is a really simple interface in just a lot of ticket locations within the arena. And a little color code that lets you know green, yellow, red, how good is the price? If it's green, boom, great price, go for it. If it's yellow or red, maybe you could find better at some point, but if you want to go for it, it's right there for you. They make sure you know. They scour all those sites so you don't have to. So you're going to save yourself money. And remember that promo code I told you to put in there? L-O Grizzlies, L-O Grizzlies. You type that promo code in, you're going to save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So that's even better. That's great for you. It's great for us here at the pod because it lets the SeatGeek people know where you came from. It's a win-win. Save yourself money. Save yourself time. Save yourself energy. Get great seats at the best prices. That is SeatGeek. SeatGeek, ladies and gentlemen. Get that app. SeatGeek. SeatGeek. These lineups that we've seen also have been very interesting. And even if it was by 1 second, and it was 1 second, literally that's the margin here. But by 1 second, it was Vince Carter who played more than anybody else for the Grizzlies. More than anybody else, and only Greek Freak played longer from the Bucks perspective. So Vince Carter, I mean, he's playing, and Vince has been a great story to start the season. He really has been. But if you are relying this much on Vince and he's given you, you know, 17 points in just over 34 minutes, he played 34 minutes and 12 seconds. Marcus Gasol played 34 minutes and 11 seconds. And you're relying so much on Vince. That is, to me, unsustainable. I mean, Vince, you know, physically he's not going to be able to hold up. But also, you know, if he's your best player, and he has been, then that tells you where you are as a team right now. And that tells you how disappointing most of the other guys have been. And Mike Conley, for example, was just not good enough. Not good enough, particularly from behind the arc, 1 of 6, only took 10 shots. You know, I need Mike taking a lot more than that. You know, that's, if you've listened to this podcast, you know that's one of my hobby horses. You know, that's one of my things I talk about with Mike is, you know, he's got to be aggressive offensively, especially, you know, now that the more the focal point of the offense is kind of run with him in mind. You know, this offense in many ways was set up to maximize Mike Conley. But if he's only going to take 10 shots, then that's not good enough. And defensively, you know, there were times that he ended up with a longer, bigger guy on him, but there were a lot of times when, you know, he had Dellavedova. And Dellavedova is a pesky defender, but he's not a guy that should intimidate Mike Conley. You know, it's one thing if Mike ends up with Greek Freak on him for whatever reason. That's a huge matchup nightmare, length, all that stuff. But that wasn't the case in this ballgame. He's got to be more aggressive and more effectively aggressive. He did get to the foul line 8 times. That's good. He made all 8. That's a positive. But, you know, because if it wasn't for that, he would have finished, you know, with even fewer points. He does finish with 15, but only on 3 makes in 10 shots. That's 3 of 10, not enough. Not enough for Mike Conley. Interesting little tidbit from Ron Tillery's piece about the game over the weekend. Said that, I'll give you the quote from Ron's piece. The Grizzlies' loss to the Bucks came down to effort and attitude, so much so that Memphis allowed 50 points in the paint, including 18 during the fourth quarter of what was at one point a 3-point game with 3 minutes left. And one of the Grizzlies' leaders, Mike Conley, admonished younger teammates in the locker room for appearing to take the loss lightly. That jumped out to me reading the game story. That little tidbit. You know, Mike Conley is never the type that does a lot of admonishing. So I'm glad to see that Mike has taken that role of getting after it a little bit. I am a little alarmed to see some of the young guys already not taking losses as seriously as they need to. That doesn't really bode well because you're going to rely on these guys. But sometimes that's the case, and you have to have a veteran and get after them. We'll see what the response is tonight against the Jazz. Maybe that was just a little bit of a wake-up call. But that's a little bit alarming early on in the season. What's also alarming, still no Tony Allen with that groin injury that he has suffered. And Tony's, you know, the last couple seasons has definitely taken a lot of time to recover when he's hurt. He likes to be fully 100%, which is understandable. And to his credit, when he's come back out there, when he's actually been on the court, he has played really well. You know, I remember that the game last year against Cleveland when he had taken 2 or 3 extra games, maybe. You know, some guys might have come back, but he didn't. He held out, and when he came back, he scored, you know, 26, 27 points, something like that, 4 steals, was off the charts. And the Grizzlies got a stunning win on the road against the eventual champions. You know, he held himself out for that. So he's been a pretty good judge about what he can do. But him not being out there, you know, I just ran and raved for, you know, a few minutes about the defense and how bad it's been, the communications and all that stuff. And while Tony will, you know, give you a few little problems here and there because he does gamble for steals, he's such a solid defender. He's such a good on-ball defender. You know, you'd be able to put him on Greek Freak or whoever in the case of the game on Saturday night against the Bucks, and you'd be able to feel good about getting an on-ball stop. There just isn't that guy now for the Grizzlies. There's not that guy. You know, Mark is doing his best to anchor this defense, but right now it's not working all that well. Yeah, you know, he's not assertive enough. He can't be. You know, the Grizzlies closed with Mark and Zach on the floor against Milwaukee in that last 3-minute stretch where they gave up a lot of those baskets. Didn't work. You know, Zach still is problematic having him out there, and you didn't really get anything on the offensive end to make up for it. So it turned out just to be kind of a bad deal all the way around. Tony Allen will not play against Utah tonight. He is out along with Brandon Wright. Be curious to see. Brandon Wright is expected to be reevaluated today. Don't know if we'll find out anything. Chances are we probably won't. But he'll be reevaluated after the initial round of that regenerative therapy that he had on his bum tendon in that ankle. So we'll see. But he certainly won't play. Tony Allen won't play. Two players listed as questionable, Mike Conley and Chandler Parsons. I will tell you this. from the early stages this season, it seems as though the questionable designation really doesn't mean a lot. It might as well be probable. Mike Conley, I talked to him a little bit prior to one of the games last week about that designation and what it meant, and he really didn't know and didn't have a lot of knowledge that that's the way that he was going to be listed on the injury report. So he kind of he thought it was kind of funny that everyone is freaking out when they see him on the questionable list with Achilles or whatever it is that he's listed with. He just kind of laughed and said, calm down, everything's fine. Don't freak out until there's a reason to, and there's no reason to. So I can ease your concerns a little bit. I would expect that both those guys would play, even though they are listed as questionable. So probable and questionable, probably, if you see those guys, they'll probably play for the most part. And if anybody's listed beyond that as doubtful or out, then they won't play. Particularly the players listed as out, guys. I can give you that one. That's a pretty easy one there. If they're listed as out, they're going to be out. That even I can figure that part out. Time for a quick 3Q preview of the Utah Jazz. Question number one, can the Grizzlies get off to a good start for once? Man, oh man, it has been rough for the Grizzlies in first quarters and first halves in general. They have their worst offensive rating by far in quarter number one. It happened in Milwaukee. I think they were down 11-2 to start that game. It seems like just about every game, Grizzlies are down big, 9-0, 11-0, you know, something like that before they can even get going. And then you have to, you know, claw your way back from some kind of deficit. Their offensive rating in the first quarter is 87.3. Now, the normal offensive rating for the Grizzlies is 97.1. That's not, like, overwhelmingly great or anything, but 87.3 is horrible. Absolutely horrible. And the Grizzlies have their best defensive rating of 100.2 in the first quarter as well, but it doesn't matter because it's overwhelmed by how bad their offense is. They've got to get off to better starts. They got to get off to better starts. And so that means in the first half, they have a net rating of minus 15. That's 15 points per 100 possessions. Minus 15. And in the second half, that's minus 2.3. Massive difference. Almost a 13-point difference in net rating between the first and the second half. Something is going on in the initial preparation for the game and then the starters getting off and getting out of the blocks. Now, it doesn't, to be fair, it doesn't get much better in the second quarter with the net rating. It's actually worse. It's minus 17. But that's more to do with the bench and the inability of the bench to get any stops. Their defensive rating is really bad in the second quarter. So that's a separate issue, but they've got to get off to a better start against a good Utah team that always plays well at home. Utah's not usually a great place for the Grizzlies. Historically, they've not played real well at any point in time in Utah. So this is a tough spot for them to be in. Question number two, is Dave Joerger still mad about Rodney Hood, even though he's no longer even with the Grizzlies? Answer's probably so. I asked that question really just to bring up how good and young and interesting this Jazz roster really is. Man, Rodney Hood is an example of it, but they've got guys that are really outstanding, and they've done a wonderful job of putting this group together. You know, they're 7-4. They just knocked off the Heat in Miami, 102-91, and that's no great shakes. The Heat have really gotten off to a bad start this year. But the Jazz did that without George Hill. George Hill has been excellent pickup. I mean, that has been a perfect acquisition for the Jazz. He didn't play, and Dante Exum did, and he was good, pretty good, surprisingly so. So without George Hill, they still managed to play really well in that ball game. So they're a dangerous team. And get this, since Chandler Parsons, Gordon Hayward got back, the Utah team has played extremely well. They've won 4 or 5 games since he returned. They've blown out most of their opponents. And Hayward is averaging 24.5 points, almost 8 rebounds, and 4 assists per game. They're a dangerous team. They're a dangerous team, and they come into a stretch starting tonight with the Grizzlies, where they play 12 of their next 16 at home. And most of those teams, most of those games are against teams that are either have a losing record or a 500 record right now. If you extend that out, that means that this would be a stretch where the Jazz could really make up a lot of numbers on the rest of the Western Conference and put themselves, you know, pretty high up on the playoff positioning. They are a dangerous, dangerous team. And, you know, Rudy Gobert is just like you would advertise. He's been sensational. But they've got, I mean, the roster that they can throw out there and the lineups they're going to throw out there are going to be really problematic for the Grizzlies. And they're going to have to play well. They're going to have to improve. Going to have to find a way to stop Rodney Hood. Going to have to find a way to stop Hayward in his playmaking from all over the floor. They're going to have to worry about Joe Johnson, who is kind of the younger Vince Carter, coming off the bench and scoring in ways that you maybe didn't expect to see. The one guy that's been a little disappointing for them is Trey Lyles, and he's, I think, starting to come out of that slump a little bit to start the season, but his field goal percentage was down pretty heavily to start this year. But nonetheless, I mean, they're a dangerous, dangerous team. And this would be a really big win for the Grizzlies, an impressive win for the Grizzlies, and a good way to get that first road win against a really tough team. But this is not going to be easy. They got to contend with Gobert inside and with all the talent that they've got on the outside. And Rodney Hood has not necessarily gotten off to the absolute best start this year, but he broke out a little bit against the Heat, and you know he has he kills the Grizzlies. So you can, if you're a Grizzly fan, just go into it tonight expecting that Rodney Hood's gonna go nuts. Just do that for your own sanity. Question number three: How good is this Grizzlies team? That's what we're gonna find. We're gonna start to find that out tonight too, because I see a lot of discussion online. And I hear a lot on my radio show on Sports 56 and 87.7. And I read a lot in my comments and in emails and stuff. After, this will be the 10th game of the year. So 10 games in is a pretty good sample size for where you're at. Grizzlies win, they're 5-5. Grizzlies lose, they're 4-6. But the net rating that they're putting out there now, as I mentioned earlier, is like almost -7. And they've had injuries for sure. Got Chandler Parsons back, but missed a big stretch, and he's still a long way from 100%. You still have some, I guess, some restrictions minutes-wise on Marcus All, although it doesn't seem like there's too many of those. There are minutes restrictions on Conley and Chandler Parsons. You've had no Tony Allen. There have been some challenges for this team, but there have also been big stretches where they just haven't played very well. Just didn't look like they were playing very well. So, how good is this team? Is this team playoff worthy? We start to see that tonight. You start to see, are you really going to be in the mix, or are you going to be a team that's going to be kind of struggling on the outside looking in? You know, you got to start. If Vince Carter is really your guy, if Vince Carter has been your MVP, if Vince Carter's been your best player, most consistent player, then, you know, you're probably not a playoff team. And so far, the Grizzlies are not. That has to change. That stuff has to change starting tonight. I want to know how good this team really is. We'll find out. One last little thing. I'm going to continue to stump for it. It's been written about a lot. Our pal Brandon over at the Grizzlies, Grizzly Bear Blues site, the SB Nation site for the Grizzlies, wrote about it. I've talked about it a lot, you know, with Kevin Leip, with Chris Harrington here on the pod, all that stuff. I'm going to keep saying it. It's important. I think the Grizzlies have got to start working Deonte Davis into the mix. I'm going to keep stumping for it. You know, there are going to be reasons why you wouldn't do it. He's going to have all kinds of problems. There's going to be some issues getting him acclimated. He's going to make rookie mistakes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, if the Grizzlies are going to continue to persist with Wade Baldwin and Andrew Harrison out there, and they have to, and they have to make mistakes and they have to have their problems, I think Deonte Davis is so important. I mean, you've got, sure, you've got other young guys, but no one can do what Davis can do, and he can extend Zach Randolph's useful minutes out there. The more time you go without getting him some more run, the worse off you're going to be. Not just long term, but short term. I think getting him into a position to play and play immediately, even if it's just, you know, 10-minute bursts, 10-minute game, 5-minute stretch, whatever, he's good, man. He's gonna be vital. He can do stuff that they need. You talk about protecting the rim. You talk about allowing 21 of 29 inside for a team like Milwaukee. If you've got a guy that can at least can be really athletic and swat some shots and give you some kind of dynamic rim protection, then that's not nothing. I think it's time to work him in, even if it means a little short-term hiccup, maybe even losing a game or two. The upside is too big. The upside is too big. That's my little warning, my soapbox moment. It's time to get Deonte Davis into the game. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautics as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team